So this morning we are reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Adi Lila, chapter 17. The chapter is entitled The Pastimes of Lord Chaitanya in His Youth. And we'll be reading from text number 170 to 195. 195 is the verse on the board. It's the verse with the purport. So before that, I will read just the translations of the verses till we come to 195. This chapter is entitled The Pastimes of Lord Chaitanya in His Youth. And currently, we are in the pastimes of the meeting and the discussions between the Lord and the Chand Kazi. So just a quick preamble to the verse we are reading. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, thank you, Prabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had inaugurated the Sankirtan movement, and he had instructed his followers to chant congregationally in public, and his followers did that very enthusiastically. They were chanting, and it is described that the entire environment was resounding with the holy names of Krishna. It was reverberating throughout Bengal. At that point in time, the Muslims became disturbed, and they went to the Chand Kazi and they complained that these Hindus, they are creating too much of a disturbance. This is becoming problematic. So the Chand Kazi, he decided to take some action. And the action he decided to take, he took his soldiers and he went to the devotees. And he broke the mridangas. And then he issued a very firm instruction that from that moment onwards, this congregational chanting of the holy name has to stop. And he instructed the soldiers that if anyone disobeyed this order, they should be thrown into jail. Jai Shishirada Gokulananda ki, Jai Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki, Jai Shishi Gauri Tai ki jai. So all of the devotees, they became afraid, not wanting to land up in prison. So the news reached Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that this was what was taking place. And it is explained that at that point, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he roared like a lion. Because he had invented for the very specific purpose of propagating the chanting of the holy name. And here was the Chand Kazi acting as an obstruction to the Lord's mission. So the Lord considered the situation, and then he decided that they would implement a protest, a peaceful protest. And in this way, the devotees grabbed torches and flags, and a big procession proceeded to the house of the Chand Kazi. And it was there that the Lord engaged in the discussion. Actually, first the Chand Kazi, when he saw the procession coming, he became very afraid and he didn't want to come out. He hid. But through some persuasion, the Lord managed to get him to come and to engage in some discussion. And there was very nice discussion that took place. And the Lord asked him a few questions, starting off with focusing on cow killing. Why do you kill the cow? And that is something that Srila Prabhupada taught his followers to do too. Focus on a few when one speaks to the Christians and the Muslims, focus on these points. You know, why do you engage in killing the cow, killing animals? And then they came to the point of discussion of the scriptures. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that the Quran and the Bible, they are fairly recent scriptures. They are not eternal. Whereas the Vedic literature or the Vedic knowledge is eternal. And last week we had a brilliant class presented by Kartik Chandra Prabhu on the previous verse, where the Chankazi makes an admission. He admits that whatever the Lord said about his scriptures were true. And he said, our scriptures have developed only recently, and they are certainly not logical and philosophical. So he makes that statement or that admission that the scriptures of the Muslims, they are not logical and they are not philosophical. So then we proceed on from today's verse, 170. And I'll read the translation. So the Chankazi continues to speak. 170. I know that our scriptures are full of imagination and mistaken ideas. Yet because I am a Muslim, I accept them for the sake of my community, despite their insufficient support. So that's quite a stark admission by the Chankazi, saying that they are full of imagination. Imagination means that one cannot demonstrate that they are coming from the absolute source. If they're not coming from the absolute source, where else can they come from? From someone's mind. So he uses the word, they're coming from someone's imagination and mistaken ideas. Because this philosophy is coming from a source of a conditioned soul. But he admits, he says, but I accept them because I'm part of this community. Despite the insufficient support. Insufficient support meaning evidence. And then he says, takes 171, the reasoning and arguments in the scriptures of the meat eaters are not very sound. The Qazi concluded, upon hearing the statement, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu smiled and inquired from him as follows. So the smiling of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he didn't say anything, but that smiling means acceptance, agreement with what the Chankazi is saying. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu does something quite amazing. He's the Lord, he knows everything, and in fact he's orchestrated everything. But then he asks the Chankazi one question. He says, my dear maternal uncle, I wish to ask you another question. Please tell me the truth. Do not try to cheat me with tricks. And let's see what question Mahaprabhu asks. In your city, there is always congregational chanting of the holy name. A tumultuous uproar of music, singing and dancing is always going on. Text number 174. As a Muslim magistrate, you have the right to oppose the performance of Hindu ceremonies. But now you do not forbid them. I cannot understand the reason why. So Mahaprabhu is telling the Qazi, something strange is going on here. You went to another village. You stopped them from chanting. You broke the mridanga. But in your very place, this tumultuous chanting is going on, but you've not stopped it. Why is that? And then the Qazi answers. The Qazi said, everyone calls you Gaura Hari. Please let me address you by that name. That's wonderful, isn't it? He wants to call the Lord Gaura Hari, the golden Hari. Kindly listen, O Gaura Hari. If you come to a private place, I shall then explain the reason to you. Text 177. The Lord replied, all of these men, they are my confidential associates. You may speak frankly. There is no reason to be afraid of them. So this gives an indication of how close to these heart the Lord's associates were. The Qazi was inviting him to come to a secluded place to reveal something confidential. But the Lord says, no. These are all my associates. They know everything. There's no secrets between me and them. The Qazi said, text number 179, when I went to the Hindu's house, broke the drum, and forbade the performance of congregational chanting, in my dreams that very night, I saw a greatly fearful lion roaring very loudly, his body like a human being's and his face like a lion's. 180. While I was asleep, the lion jumped on my chest, laughing fiercely, and gnashing his teeth. Text 181. Placing his nails on my chest, the lion said in a grave voice, I shall at once bifurcate your chest as you broke the mridanga. You have forbidden the performance of my congregational chanting. Therefore, I must destroy you. Being very afraid of him, I closed my eyes and I trembled. Text 183. Seeing me so afraid, the lion said, I have defeated you just to teach you a lesson, but I must be merciful to you. And then the Lord gives a reason why you must be merciful. On that day, you did not create a very great disturbance. Therefore, I have excused you and have not taken your life. Actually, the Muslims during those times, they were merciless. Actually, there's a period in Indian history where 450 million Hindus were massacred by the Muslims. That's been documented. And that's been noted as the greatest genocide that has ever taken place on this planet. 450 million Hindus murdered by the Muslims. But Chan Qazi, he didn't do that. He broke the drum. He threatened them. And he didn't even throw them into jail. He simply warned them, if you carry on, I will put you in jail. So Lord Nrisimhadev, he said, you did not create a very great disturbance. That's what he means. Therefore, I have excused you and not taken your life. 185. But if you perform such activities again, I shall not be tolerant. At that time I shall kill you, your entire family, and all of the meat eaters. After saying this, this is the Chan Qazi speaking again, the lion left. But I was very much afraid of him. Just see the marks of his nails on my chest. So Lord Nrisimhadev had made some marks on the Qazi's chest. And on text number 187, after this description, the Qazi showed his chest. He said, I'm not lying. Look. Having heard him and seen the marks, all the people there accepted the wonderful incident. Text 188. The Qazi continued, I did not speak to anyone about this incident. So he showed the Lord his chest. The Qazi continued, I did not speak to anyone about this incident. But on that very day, one of my orderlies came to see me. Text 189. After coming to me, the orderly said, when I went to stop the congregational chanting, suddenly flames struck my face. Text 190. My beard was burned, and there were blisters on my cheeks. Every orderly who went gave the same description. Text 191. After seeing this, I was very much afraid. I asked them not to stop the congregational chanting, but to go sit down at home. Text 192. Then all the meat eaters, hearing that there would be unrestricted congregational chanting in the city, came to submit a petition. So the Chan Qazi didn't stop, and the Muslims were getting more agitated, so they came with a petition. Text 193. The religion of the Hindus has increased unlimitedly. There are always vibrations of Hari, Hari. We do not hear anything but this. 194. One meat eater said, the Hindus say, Krishna, Krishna, and they laugh, cry, dance, chant, and fall on the ground, smearing their bodies with dirt. Text 195. Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki. Vibrating Hari Hari, the Hindus make a tumultuous sound. If the king, the Patasaha, hears it, certainly he will punish you. So please repeat after me. Vibrating Hari Hari.
Vibrating Hari Hari.
The Hindus make a tumultuous sound.
If the king,
Patasaha,
hears it,
certainly he will punish you. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Patasaha refers to the king, the Nawab Hussein Shah, whose full name was Alauddin Sayyad Hussein Shah, was at that time, A.D. 1498 to 1521, the independent king of Bengal. Formerly, he was the servant of the cruel Nawab of the Habshi dynasty called Mujaffar Khan. But somehow or the other, he assassinated his master and became the king. After gaining the throne of Bengal, technically called Mashnadha, he declared himself Sayyad Hussein Alauddin Sirip Mukha. There is a book called Riyaja Us Salatina, whose author Ghulam Hussein says that Nawab Hussein Shah belongs to the family of Mukha Sirib. To keep his family glories, to keep his family's glory, he took the name Sirip Mukha. Generally, however, is known as Nawab Hussein Shah. After his death, his eldest son, Nasaratsa, became king of Bengal. 1521 to 1533. This king also was very cruel. He committed many atrocities against the Vaishnavas. As a result of his sinful activities, one of his servants from the Koja group killed him while he was praying in the mosque. Om Gyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Malitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishaka Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namaste Tapta Kanchana Gorange Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpaturubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shrivashari Gaura Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamane Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pastachade Shatarine. So the verse again. Vibrating Hari Hari, the Hindus made a tumultuous sound. If the king Patasaha hears it, certainly he will punish you. In the English language, there's a common saying when you are in a difficult situation. He said, you are between a rock and a hard place. Meaning, you got nowhere to go. So this was the position of the Chan Qazi. On one hand, he had this experience where the Lord told him, you stop this congregational chanting, you are finished. And he didn't tell the people. And the other hand, all of the Muslims are coming to him and saying, if you don't stop this chanting, you are going to get punished by the Nawab Hussein Shah. So what to do? Such a difficult situation. We'll read in the following verses what he does. But for now, Srila Prabhupada gives a brief description of the Nawab Hussein Shah, explaining that this Nawab Hussein Shah, they call him the king, but actually he was the ruler of three areas. Bengal, Orissa, and Bihar. He ruled these three areas, the Nawab Hussein Shah. And Prabhupada gives a brief history of how he came to that position. And it is not a very glorious history. He didn't get there by any qualification. How did he get there? He assassinated his master. So one can get some idea about the Nawab Hussein Shah. But the amazing thing, in the history of the Muslim rulers, he is known as relatively as a fairly passive ruler. Because it was the same Nawab Hussein Shah. Where else did we hear about him? He became the master of who? Sanathan and Rupa Goswami. It is explained that Sanathan and Rupa Goswami, when they were young, They were so intelligent. They were so brilliant. That one of the ministers of the Nawab, he went to the Nawab and said, there are two people in your kingdom. They are so expert, like no one is expert. You must bring them into your ministry. And when the Nawab heard this, he went to Rupa and Sanathan, and he took them into his kingdom. And they got renamed Dabir Kash and Sakara Malik. One became the treasurer, Rupa, and Sanathan became the prime minister. And it is said that he had so much of faith in these two brothers that he would take no decision without consulting them first. But something amazing happened. Rupa Goswami, Dabir Kash, he heard about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he met Mahaprabhu at Ramakeli. And then he decided to leave the administration of the Nawab. And it explained that he gave 50% of his wealth to family members. He took 50% on a boat and he went off to Vrindavan. And there was Sanathan Goswami left. And Sanathan, he had a similar experience. He became attached to Srimad Bhagavatam. And then he would play truant. He would not go to the office. He would employ some brahmanas. He would get them to chant Srimad Bhagavatam and he would sit and listen to Bhagavat. So the Nawab started to wonder what's going on here. And he sent his soldiers and his ministers to go see what was Sanathan Sakar Malik up to. And when they went to the house, they saw he was sitting and listening to Bhagavad Katha. So the Nawab got extremely angry. Extremely angry. And he spoke to Sanathan. He said, please, what is this nonsense? Please come back and do your duties. And Sanathan said, no, I'm finished with that now. And then immediately, he got him thrown into prison. But then again, you can see some little good in this Nawab. Traditionally, these Muslim rulers, they were so merciless. If such a thing was done, immediately your head would be chopped off. But Sanathan, his head was not chopped off. He was put into prison. And then we read from Chaitanya Charitamrita the history, and I won't go into that now, how Sanathan bribed the prison keeper. He managed to get out, and eventually he joined Mahaprabhu. So this is the same Nawab Hussain Shah. And Prabhupada gives a brief history of his eldest son, Nasaratsa, who became the king of Bengal during the period of 1521 to 1533. And again, in fact, in one sense, Bengal became split and part of Bengal became Bangladesh. And we know now that Bangladesh is chiefly under Muslim leadership. And there are great atrocities going on at the moment against the Hindus in Bangladesh, and even among our devotees. Not so long ago, Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokuladanda Ki, Jai Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai. Not so long ago, our temple in Dhaka in Bangladesh was attacked, stoned, attempted to be burnt. And devotees, it's difficult there. It's difficult. But you say, as you say, yes, if you live by the sword, you die by the sword. So his son, Nasaratsa, He was killed by one of his own servants. He was killed by his own. And whereabout was he killed? While he was praying in the mosque. While he was praying. So we can see some of these atrocities. So I'll pause here. It's a wonderful pastime about how Lord Nrisimhadev intervenes. And Lord Nrisimhadev, he plays this role always. When devotees first had their difficulty. Actually, the first prayer that's of Lord Nrisimhadev that Srila Prabhupada gave the devotees in the Western world, in America, was when he fell ill. He asked the devotees to pray to Lord Nrisimhadev for protection of the spiritual master. And then again, the temple, one of the temples, I can't remember which one, San Francisco or New York, was attacked once. And again, Prabhupada appealed to the devotees to pray to Lord Nrisimhadev. So I'll pause here. Today is a very auspicious day. It is the appearance day of Srila Bhaktivinod Thakur, one of our great, great acharyas. So I will speak, unfortunately, I wouldn't say unfortunately, at 8:30 we are going to do Pushpanjali, as is the tradition. So we've got a few minutes, and there's so much to say about Srila Bhaktivinod Thakur. I'll just start off by repeating his pranam mantra, Namo Bhaktivinodaya Sachidananda Murtaye Gora Shakti Swarupaya Rupanuga Varayate. I offer my obeisances to you, O Bhaktivinod, the form of eternity, knowledge and bliss, the incarnation of Gora's potency, and the best of the followers of Rupa Goswami. So in this pranam mantra, Srila Bhaktivinod Thakur is being recognized as the incarnation of Gora's potency and the best of the followers of Rupa Goswami. So I'll speak a little bit about why he has earned this title of being the incarnation of Gora's potency and the best of the followers of Rupa Goswami. Firstly, I just want to refresh our minds that in last week's class, Kartik Chandra Prabhu provided some evidence from the writings of Bhaktivinod Thakur that he's a Nitya Siddha devotee, an eternal associate of the Lord. And not only is he a Nitya Siddha devotee, but he is a very, very confidential. We know from the description of the teachings of the acharyas that the most confidential servants of the Lord are the gopis of Vrindavan. And even more confidential are the manjaris. And more confidential are the servants of the manjaris. So Bhaktivinod Thakur, in his eternal spiritual position, he is Kamala Manjari. And Kamala Manjari is the chief servant of Rupa Goswami, Rupa Manjari. And Rupa Manjari, she is the chief of the Manjaris in Vrindavan. So we know from these narrations about the very, very exalted eternal position of Srila Bhaktivinod Thakur. So I just want to start off, because we are Prabhupada Anugas, followers of Srila Prabhupada, I just want to read a few statements of Srila Prabhupada about Srila Bhaktivinod Thakur. And one of the most significant statements that Srila Prabhupada made, Srila Prabhupada, one of the first books he published in the United States of America was the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. Srila Prabhupada had this concern that he didn't know how much of time he had left on this planet. And he didn't know whether he would reach the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, to give the essence, the world, the essence of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is Lord Krishna's Leela. So, at the same time, Prabhupada warned that we shouldn't go to the 10th canto. So he summarized the 10th canto in the Krishna book. And he did it in a beautiful way by weaving together Leela with philosophy. And at the same time, he had the concern that he wanted to give the world Chaitanya Charitamrita. That maybe he would also not have time to do the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So he summarized the Chaitanya Charitamrita in the book, The Teachings of Lord Chaitanya. And in that book, he does a dedication. And he dedicates that book to who? Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And he writes there, dedicated to the sacred service of Srila Sachidananda Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who initiated the teachings of Lord Chaitanya in the Western world, McGill University, Canada, in 1896, the year of my birth. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was such a progressive thinker. He wrote a book, The Life and Precepts of Lord Chaitanya, in English. And he distributed these books around the Western world. And the first book to reach the Western world was in 1896. And 1896, we all know, is the birth year of Srila Prabhupada. So Prabhupada writes there. And Prabhupada's entire life was the furthering of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's projects, engaging householders in local preaching Namahata, establishing the principles that Vaishnavas, even though born not as Brahmanas, are greater than Brahmanas, translating, explaining, and publishing the most important Vaishnava scriptures for the understanding of the contemporary audience. And then Prabhupada would quote Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur as the pioneer of the Krishna consciousness movement. And he quoted Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, Lord Chaitanya did not advent himself to liberate only a few men in India. Rather, his main objective was to emancipate all living entities of all countries throughout the entire universe and preach the eternal Dharma. Lord Chaitanya states in his Chaitanya Bhagavat, in every town and village, country and village, my name will be sung. There is no doubt that this unquestionable order will come to pass. So it was Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur who had this faith. And it was him that who wrote that one day this Harinam Sankirtan would be propagated throughout the Western world, throughout the universe. And one day the English, French, German, and Russian and American people will take up banners, mridangas, kartals, and raise kirtan through their streets and towns. When will that day come? Oh, for that day when the Western fair-skinned men from one side, while chanting Jai Sachinandana Ki Jai, will extend their arms and embracing the devotees of our country coming from another side, treat us with brotherly feelings. When will that day come? So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he had that vision where everyone else was thinking, you know, this is unfathomable. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he saw it in his vision that this was going to happen. And Srila Prabhupada, sometimes in Mayapur, he used to sit in his room. And while he sat in his room, he would hear the kirtan going on outside. Jai Sachinandana Gaura Hari. And then Prabhupada said, he used to tell the devotees, when I hear these devotees chant, I simply remember Bhaktivinoda Thakur. That's all. I pray to Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Now they have come to your shelter. Give them protection. That's all. What more can I do? I cannot do anything more. So that's the mood of Srila Prabhupada, you know. Every time he would hear the devotees thinking, who he would think of immediately? Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He would remember Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And he would pray to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, they are under your care. They are under your care. Srila Prabhupada also had the vision. It was the vision of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Once Bhaktivinoda Thakur was sitting in his house in Godroom, and in the distance he saw a bright light and effulgent. And there he saw that a great spiritual city was going to manifest. And he wrote about that spiritual city. And Srila Prabhupada, taking on those statements of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he wanted to manifest that spiritual city. And he procured land in where our present-day Mayapur project is. And Srila Prabhupada said, we shall build a spiritual city in this place. But the devotees came to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, I don't think this land is ideal. Because this land floods. And if we build a city here, it is quite probable that our city will get flooded. And then Prabhupada thought. He said, okay. Maybe we shall move our project from here to Bir Nagar. And what is significant about Bir Nagar? It is the birthplace of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So we can imagine how much in Srila Prabhupada's heart this whole feeling of developing Krishna consciousness, that he would make such a statement. We shall move our project to Bir Nagar. It never happened because eventually, you know, circumstances changed and the land was found to be appropriate and they built it on sort of higher foundations or columns, and the project is there. In his book, By His Example, Gurudas Prabhu, he recounts one pastime that he and Srila Prabhupada were walking in Regent's Park in London. And while they were walking, they started to speak about the Vaishnava literatures. And then Gurudas, he said, Prabhupada, my second favorite author is Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And Prabhupada said, second? Because he knew, and actually in Gurudas, in his heart, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was his favorite author. But he felt, I can't disappoint Prabhupada and say he's my first, you know. So he said, second. And so Prabhupada knew his heart. Prabhupada said, second? And then Prabhupada said, if I could have only 1/10. And then he just broke down and he started sobbing. He said, if I could have only 1/10 of the devotion of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, I would be a great devotee. So Srila Prabhupada's mood was phenomenal. I mean, towards Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's contribution to this Vaishnava movement is unimaginable. He appeared at a time when Gaudiya Vaishnavism was being completely disgraced. After the disappearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates, gradually, Gaudiya Vaishnavism started to become tainted. So many upper sampradayas began to pop up. and the English-speaking people would just criticize, condemn, and ridicule Gaudiya Vaishnavism as worshipping idols, worshipping a god who would go in the middle of a night with young married women. And it was complete. And at that point, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur appeared. And this is the last thing because of time. I was requested to finish sharp up as 8. I want to read Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's glorification of his own father. Because this gives us some insight about the unimaginable contribution of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta writes in his Jaiva Dharma commentary, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is an extremely dear associate of Sri Chaitanya Chandra. In the course of time, when those who preached the desires of Chaitanya Dev had left this world to enter the Lord's eternal pastimes, the sky over Bengal slowly darkened. Covered by the thick clouds of sensual enjoyment and false renunciation, the sky was covered and the world was bereft of the rays of light coming from the Sankirtan propagated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One by one, the sun, the moon, and the unlimited stars of that sky faded from view, leaving only the occasional flash of lightning to disrupt the unending darkness of ignorance. So he gives this metaphor, this brilliant metaphor, to explain how Gaudiya Vaishnavism, what had happened after the disappearance of the Lord. But almost 350 years after the appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur came to illuminate the Gaudiya sky. All the great virtues are present in the body of a Vaishnav. And then he explains the 26 qualities of the Vaishnavs. And he says all of these devotees' qualities were perfectly displayed by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur throughout his life of pure devotion. The ocean of compassion, Srila Gaura Hari, displayed this merciful nature to the conditioned souls in 9 different ways. The same kind of distribution of mercy is seen in the life and work of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur reinvigorated through so much of hard labor. This was his schedule. Just to give you an example of when I say hard labor. 8 to 10 o'clock at night he would rest. 10 to 4 o'clock he would write. 10 in the night to 4 o'clock in the morning. 4 to 4:30 he would rest. 4:30 to 7 he would chant japa. 7 to 7:30 he would do correspondence. 7:30 to 9:30 he would study shastra. 9:30 to 10 o'clock, half an hour, he would bathe, take his prasadam. From 10 to 1 o'clock, he would do court duties. Normally he would take people all of these times from 10 to 1 to do 10 cases. He would do 100 cases in that one. And his judgment was perfect. From 1 to 2 p.m., he would refresh at home. From 2 to 5, again, he would do court duties. From 5 to 7, he would translate the Bengali the shastras to Bengali. And from 7 to 8 o'clock, he would rest. Day in, day out, that was his schedule. Can you imagine his contribution to us? Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur ki. Srila Prabhupada ki.